This is CliffCentral.com.
It's time for us to check in with our very good friend George Meany, who's from Auto Trader, and we're going to talk to George about some of the stories in motoring this week. Hey, George, first of all, Happy New Year. Welcome back.
You too, Gareth.
Did you have a nice holiday?
I did.
What adventurous forms of transport did you use during your holiday?
Just my Land Rover.
Oh, well, that's all right. So did Prince Philip. It didn't go so well for him, though. Did you hear what happened?
Down in the Fair Cape, no.
No, he had a crash. He's 97 years old. I asked Tyron what he thought of a 97-year-old driving. They shouldn't be allowed to, right, Tracy?
No.
97, they should be.
They should have their. People should reach a certain age and then go redo their license and learner's.
I agree with that.
Because Jesus knows. I mean, come on, men.
You know the one thing I love about Cape Town is their Cape accent.
Yeah. Well,
do you find it sexy?
I haven't thought about it that way, but I love that accent.
You'll like it, and then you have to. Is it sexy? I don't know. It's usually out.
Can be.
How the guys react.
All right, so George, what's going on in the news?
Well, we did an analysis of the most popular cars in 2018.
Aha, let's get into this. This is very important.
And believe it or not,
we have the results.
For a long time, the BMW 3 Series was on the top of the list.
Tracy Lee has one of those, yeah.
My car got stolen, man.
Because it's so popular.
A Taz. Someone sponsor me a car, please.
All right, go on.
Was the BMW 3 Series at the top of the list in 2017, but in 2018, the BMW 3 Series dropped to position number 4.
Oh.
As the fourth most popular car in South Africa. The C-Class was in position number 2 in 2017 and climbed to position number 1 in 2018.
Oh.
So, C-Class, Mercedes-Benz C-Class is now on the top of the list. VW Golf was in position number 3 in 2017 and dropped to position number 6 last year.
That's an ugly slide.
Yeah, I think so.
Shame.
It's like that thing at that Wild Waters. Do they even call it Wild Waters anymore?
Oh, you can see it from the planes. That's all I know.
That's all you know. That's all you care about.
Come into land and you check out those slides.
And then one of South Africa's most popular cars is the Toyota Hilux. And Toyota Hilux was in position number 4 and last year climbed to position number 2, probably because of the Dakar rally.
Oh, you think it's not just because farmers needed to upgrade from their other buckies?
Maybe the Isuzu.
Yeah, all right.
Which isn't even on this list.
No, shame.
And then surprisingly, the VW Polo, which was in position number 6 in 2017, climbed to position number 3 in 2018.
That's a very sensible car. I have lots of respect for the Polo. You see a lot of them on the roads. They serve the people who drive them well.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's
so
a good car.
So that was the that was the lineup in 2018. Biggest surprise year was the slide of the all-time Euro, the BMW 3 Series.
Are you surprised?
Not really. I think they need to do something with that that 3 Series and not just facelift it.
Yeah.
They need to do something significant with that 3 Series.
Okay.
But and George, what did they do with the C-Class that made it rise like that? Because ultimately there's a formula here and they just get slightly better
yes,
every time.
Yes. Well, remember the C-Class had a significant shape change between 2016 and 2018, and they had a mid-year facelift in 2018, which was quite a big facelift. So I think the C-Class has got a lot better. I don't know if you remember that dolphin-type shape that they had for years. And now they've moved to a more racy, sporty car with more lines.
But Merck always do take more risks like that.
Yeah.
A bit crazier.
Yeah. So, and I think BMW is stuck in that rut of what you just said, which is that incremental change.
Yeah.
And Merck took a little bit of a leap and got to the top of the list.
Okay, what else?
Well, I don't know if you know who Namuzu Mabena is.
Yes, Namuzu Mabena, we spoke about this. She was involved in a campaign that was largely sponsored by Volkswagen.
Yes.
They faked an accident to bring awareness to
drinking and driving and texting.
Yeah, so a lot of people, very mixed reaction. Do you think it's been a success, George? This is a big story in the news this week.
I think it's been there's no such thing as negative marketing, and VW has got the traction from this. Uh-huh. They slammed her for doing it. But, you know, I agree with VW sentiments here, and there's probably four sides to the story. I believe VW says, why is nobody actually focusing on what they tried to achieve, which was the focus on drinking and driving and texting and driving?
Yeah.
Was everyone focused on, oh, how could you do this? You lied to us. You know, you disappeared for 24 hours. You know, and so I think the public is probably focused on the wrong thing. Yes, maybe they could have done it better. But VW had, I think, good intentions with this campaign.
All right, okay.
Maybe executed in the wrong way.
I didn't love it, but then maybe I'm in the minority. I'm willing to accept. I'm probably just difficult about this, but I don't like fake. I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't think it's funny when you, even for awareness, you have a fake accident. People get worried, man. Mm. And you know. There's going to be bizarre stuff. Like when you do sensational stuff like this, there's always copycat stuff because people go, well, my celebrity that I like did this, so I'm going to do it because it'll get me attention, and they do a real one, and that's not so cool.
Yeah, I suppose the problem comes in when something really happens and people don't believe it.
Yeah.
It's cry wolf stuff, isn't
cry
it?
Cry wolf, exactly.
But then also the people who actually lose people in accidents. Yes. Like that's kind of taking the mickey out of their grief and whatever.
Well, Terry Petto, who's a well-known South African actress, she's starred in a number of very big movies, and she's got international.
I follow her on Instagram,
me too. She was very upset by this. She says, I've lost family and friends in car accidents. Mm. I don't think this is an interesting campaign or fun or clever at all. I think it's creepy. Mm.
I think it was executed wrong. So what they tried to do was good, but it was executed in the wrong way. It led people to believe it was actually real, which that's the part I don't agree with, is it shouldn't have been made to be real. It should have been as an ad.
Look, at least let's give credit where credit's due. At least people are thinking a little bit differently about how to make these messages count.
Yeah.
If it affected, I don't know, 100 people positively, that's 100 people who'll think about texting and driving or not drinking and driving a little bit more seriously.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think is more dangerous? What do you think?
Texting or drinking?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a worse evil.
I think, you know what I think is the big scary thing, and it came up yesterday with Canthan Pillay and Pumi. We were talking about the things that really contribute hugely to the death statistics on our roads, and Bladen Zimande held this press conference this week about it. Two things that nobody really talks about much anymore, but they're the two biggest things when it comes to fatalities.
Yeah.
Number one is drunk pedestrians.
Yes.
We have more drunk pedestrians killed than any other country
in
the world.
Good point.
And drunk pedestrians make up most of those death statistics.
Well, pedestrians as a whole.
Something close to 60 or 70% of the deaths on our roads are pedestrians.
That's crazy.
Are people crossing highways, people stumbling into the road because they're drunk. People get knocked over by motorists. But it's not evil motorists as much as it is dumb pedestrians. Mm. That's the one thing no one talks about. The other thing no one talks about is taxis. Because give taxis a free pass. We just accept that they're a hazard on the road. But nobody talks about them. If we take the taxis and the pedestrians out, our fatalities are not so high.
I actually start freezing up when I see a taxi coming into the fast lane behind me. And if I can't get into the left lane, because they don't care about that. They just drive on your bum.
But you can just see, I mean, when you see that taxi's momentum, you can just see this looks dangerous. Yeah, they're not in control.
Well, the worst part is Matt being the passenger in one of those things because
that's the thing, because you don't have a choice when you get into a taxi. You don't know how they drive.
Yeah.
You just get in and hope for the best.
So these are the two big elephants in the room that no one talks about. And the other thing that no one talks about is sleep.
Like sleep deprivation.
Tracy, you and I were talking just now about how little sleep we both get, and we're not that isolated as people who don't get enough sleep. Loads of people do. People who are tired behind the wheel, I reckon, are way more dangerous than people who are drunk or people who are texting.
Exactly.
Of course those are problems. I'm not by any means saying they're not problems, but they never pull you over and go, can we test how sleepy you are? They never dock your license for sleepiness or the fact that you only got 3 or 4 hours last night, or you're stressed beyond belief, so you're exhausted behind the wheel.
And distracted.
How often are you driving and you can feel yourself getting more and more tired? That's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. Very dangerous.
There's nothing to blow on, though, to test that. Your tiredness, you know?
That's the point. And I reckon a lot of these accidents are probably because people are tired. Especially truck drivers. Yeah. You're driving like 18 hours a night.
My God.
Can you imagine?
I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
So no one talks about those three things, and if we talked about them, the statistics wouldn't look so bad.
I agree. On a lighter note.
Yeah, thank God.
Ford is using a giant robot to mimic how your sweaty butt affects the car seat over time.
Oh, no.
So they've been doing this test for years with a machine that has a pad on it, mimics your bum, and gets in and out of the car seat 7,500 times. Now they've added sweat to the mix. And
have you ever sat down in a seat someone's been sitting in for a long time and it's hot?
Warm.
Some people pay for that in beds in Japan.
Yeah,
but bed warmers.
Let's not even go down that street.
The
Japanese buy panties from dispensing machines and all kinds of things. They have very, very strange habits that are going on there. But a sweaty seat, Betty, how does it affect things?
Well, they're busy doing this test now. So
does it ruin the leather?
They're checking to see whether it ruins the leather or the cloth, and how long it takes to ruin the leather or the cloth with sweat or without sweat.
Ugh, swass.
So you know.
So when they get the results, are they going to? Are they going to like reinforce the seat underneath? Are they not going to use leather then, and
maybe
more absorbent kind of material? What's going to happen?
Well, I mean, I remember my previous car had fans in the seats, so you could switch the fans on, and the fans would cool your butt. So maybe that's an answer.
And that's something like you like that? Is something you into?
What, fans in my seat?
Fans cooling your butt.
Yeah, listen,
like
it's
wind
nice.
Blowing on your bum.
I drove a Bentley once, and they also have these little, the little holes in the leather?
Yes.
This cool air blows up through your
it's
ass
very nice.
And on your back. Because you often, if you're driving on a hot summer's day, your back against the
seat. I get
seat.
The back thing, but my bum, though. Like
your ass doesn't get sweaty. Lucky you.
I mean,
my ex-husband would put the seat heater on without me knowing. Oh, and goodness. We'd be like halfway to Durban and I'd be squirming going, so fucking hot.
This is why you got divorced.
This is number one reason.
Your seat heater.
Yeah. All right. George, thank you very much. Great to see you.
This is CliffCentral.com.